Matthew 6, 1 through 18. Hear now the word of our God. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And that is God's word. The last chapter, Jesus was teaching his disciples against the corruption of the law by the scribes and the Pharisees. And there, the scribes and Pharisees, external righteousness. And he was showing that it needed to be of the heart. Righteousness begins with the heart. He was discipling them in their hearts to live for him. And now he warns his disciples of their corrupt practices, one of which was hypocrisy, that is, the scribes and Pharisees' corrupt practices. Hypocrisy. These are the sins described that professors of religion, of Christianity, need to guard against the most typically, because they are sins that most easily beset those who have escaped the grosser pollutions. The external, you've put that off. Often, if you've been a Christian for a while, you put off the external sins that people can see very easily. And yet there's inner sins that come out external, because you want to show people that you are righteous. And because those sins don't seem as bad, they can prove for Christians to be some of the most dangerous. The ones that begin, the great can't think of the word. Begins the festering further into sin and infection. But here he's pointing out sins of hypocrisy, that we not be as the hypocrites nor do as they do. And he gives a few things in giving alms and prayer, and then he gives the general form of how to pray and forgiveness and prayer, and then also in fasting. So verses 1 through 4, he warns against hypocrisy that we could fall into in giving to those in need, that we would seek to do so not because we really desire, but the sin comes out because not out of a love for Christ to help people in need, but to do so for our own gain. So that people will see us, see our righteousness, and honor us. So we ought not to be, though, helping people so that we can be honored by men, but that we can serve people for Christ so that He would be glorified and that we would receive a reward from our Father in heaven. Same thing happens when you get to fasting in verses 16 to 18. You're not to fast so that people can see you, and so you put on the, you know, looking like John the Baptist or something, the odd weird clothes, and looks like you're in great sorrow and pain, and your face is not washed, but it looks like you haven't eaten, and your hair is all, you know, everything about you is showing that, oh, that person's fasting. They must be holy. They must be righteous. Well, that's not our goal when we're fasting. Our fasting is to be focused on our Father and on the Lord Jesus Christ, upon His Word. And thus, we are not to be seeking to be honored by men again, but by our God. That He would be honored above all. Verses, going back to verse 5 through 8, He warns us about prayer. Similar to the helping people, similar to fasting, we are not to pray so that we'll be heard by people. He's talking about individuals, not in public worship, obviously. But we're not to be heard by people so that then we can be honored as people who are righteous because of our great prayers. But even you are to do so, you are to pray as you would pray before people in public, perhaps at prayer meeting or wherever you would pray, praying for someone at work with them if they've had a bad day or whatever. But even in private prayer, you're to pray the same. You were to pray to the Lord for with great thanksgiving to Him. You were to pray not to be honored by men as righteous, but to be honoring the Lord. And also He says not to be use this meaningless repetition in your prayers. So you're not repeating over and over and over and over so that the Lord will somehow hear you. He hears your prayers fine the first time. Though you might pray the same thing over and over through different time periods, you know, like today and then the next day or even a couple hours, but you're not to continue using repetitious words really quickly. That's what the Gentiles do, He says, and that is of no profit. So we ought to pray. He gives a good example of the disciples' prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer often. How should the disciple of Christ pray? He gives us that we ought to pray, verses 9 through 13, to the Father, with honor to His name, with a future outlook, according to His will. We're looking to the future in our prayers, hoping and drawing comfort from the future and the promises of God. And also we're drawing comfort and hope on His kingly office, that is His provision of us. Give us this day our daily bread. And also our spiritual, because He says, give us this day our daily bread. He also shows us very clearly, especially in verses 14 and 15, that we ought to be quick to forgive people, because our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. And if we would not forgive, He gives us the warning in verse 14, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions, because in your not forgiving others, you're not understanding the gospel, you're not believing it. Because nobody deserves to be forgiven. But your Father forgave you. And so therefore, when someone repents, you ought to forgive them. And so, beloved, in our prayers, in our repentance and our forgiving others, let us not be hypocrites in fasting and giving. But we ought to be careful of this hypocrisy as children of God. Let's pray. Well, Father, we ask that we would not be in this way, like the scribes and Pharisees, like hypocrites who, upon believing the gospel ourselves, we ought to be in all things seeking your glory, seeking to serve you in all ways, that you show us to serve you and to worship you. Father, we ask that we would not be filled with pride and lying before people, giving and fasting and praying before men, that people would hear us or people would see us and therefore glorify us. We should be giving and fasting and praying so that people, in the end, our goal would be that people would glorify you. And so, Father, may that be our focus, that as our chief end, the chief end of man is to glorify you and enjoy you forever. And so, Father, in our actions, in our words, may all that we do, think, and say be glorifying unto your name. And Father, we ask for forgiveness, for there are times in the past outside of these examples given of giving and praying and fasting. There are things that we often do each week that we do to be seen by men, be seen as more righteous. And Father, forgive us of those sins. And yet, Father, you also show us that it is good to be a godly example before those so that others will glorify the Father in heaven. That is the goal, again, that you would be glorified. And Father, we ask that you would use us and grow us in our good works, that people would see them and not glorify us and honor us, but that they would glorify you, that they would believe the gospel upon hearing it and be sanctified, praising your name always. May we be a people who praise your name and give thanks to you always, even in difficult and hard circumstances, for you deserve much more. And we deserve your wrath and judgment. We ought to be praising you all the time, unceasingly, because you have given us life forever and blessings beyond number, when we deserve hell and Hades. Father, we ask that you now would bless us in our worship as we continue. Grow us in these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.